Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I'll tell you what, it's got to get exhausting sometimes, right? That's what you're probably thinking to yourself. Does it get exhausting being right so often, all these times? I mean, no, it doesn't. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It really, really is. But man, the corruption of this administration, of this guy, this old geezer, unbelievable. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today, Monday. Hope you and your family had a wonderful Thanksgiving. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So look, I told you this was going to happen. There were lots of people who said it wasn't going to happen. They believed Biden, but this was all baked in. The whole thing was baked. The whole thing was baked. Here's what they did. Just go back in time a little bit, right? They wanted Biden out of the race, but he didn't want to go because he's a stubborn old codger and he didn't want to go anywhere. But of course, all of the corruption that occurred in Barack Obama's administration. So everything regarding Ukraine. And the pardon goes back to 2014 for any and all crimes Hunter Biden may or may not have committed. All starts then. Burisma, Joe Biden threatening the prosecutor, threatening the prime minister or the president of Ukraine. I'm going to go back with my $1 billion if you don't fire the prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, right? The guy was investigating Burisma, which was paying Hunter Biden 10% for the big guy. All of this all happened on Barack Obama's watch. They're fine with it, though, because Democrats are okay with corruption as long as you play ball. As long as you play ball, they're okay with your corruption. In fact, they like it. They applaud it. They want you to keep doing it. Same with Bob Menendez. I mean, everybody knew Bob Menendez was a crook all these years, but it was only when Bob Menendez crossed them on the Iran nuclear deal that they decided to prosecute him. So, back in October of last year, David Axelrod goes to the Obama reunion, and then he decides that Joe's got to go. Joe's got to go, meaning that the Obamas, they all sat around the table, and they said, that's it. The old man can't win. He's got to go. How do we get him out of the race? How do we do it? Well, they tried being nice, and that didn't work. And then ultimately, if you remember, one of the Obama podcast bros, the Pod Save America bros, wrote a very long social media post about how Joe Biden has a choice. You can go out with your legacy intact, or your legacy is going to be destroyed. Now, most people looked at that and assumed that what they meant was Biden would lose. But as I told you at the time, just losing is not enough to destroy your legacy. Like, it's more than that. Legacy is more than just simply losing an election. Like, lots of people lose their election and they've got, you know, a legacy. That's what they have. They have a legacy. But even though they lost the election, they still have a legacy. And that's how that goes. So it was more than that. Obviously, it was more than that. What it had to do with, in every single way, in every aspect, what it had to do with was the corruption. The Obama people said, in no uncertain terms, we will expose everything and we will destroy you. We will destroy you and your legacy with it. That's what happened. That's how it played out. Bottom line, that's what occurred. So Joe Biden was faced with a choice. He's going to lose either way, right? Because they could expose the corruption and then America's not going to vote for him because he's going to be a corrupt SOB and he loses. or he gets to go out with his quote unquote legacy intact. You see, if you're streaming on YouTube, I'm doing air quotes, legacy intact, meaning that they'll hide the corruption and you can pardon your son. And it all goes away. You get to enjoy your money on the beach in Delaware, and everybody will think of you as this revered statesman. We'll write books about you and how selfless you were, what a hero you were. George Clooney will praise you. Everyone will praise you. You saved democracy. Blah, blah, blah. Or if you don't get out of the race, we're going to expose all this corruption. You're going to go down as a corrupt SOB you are. Your son's going to go to prison. You'll be exposed. Probably going to owe all kinds of money to the IRS at worst. At best, your legacy is over. That's it. Here are your options. Pick door A or door B. And I told you at the time that when Joe Biden ultimately got out of the race, it was because they had that leverage from the Hunter Biden laptop. Let's go back again in the DeLorean back to 2020. When we were all told it was Russian disinformation, it was not to cover up the fact that Hunter Biden had nudie pics of him snorting cocaine off of strippers. No. In fact, if it was just that, they would have used that as the redemption story. Yes, the redemption of Hunter Biden. And they all would have said the same thing. Look at how he's turned his life around. Here he was at the rock bottom, doing cocaine off a stripper's rear end. And now he's on stage with his father running for president of the United States of America. What an epic comeback story. And Joe Biden would go out to the Democrat National Convention. He would talk to the voters about drug addiction. He was going to make it his priority as president. Blah, blah, blah. No. The reason why the deep state, 51 former national security officials, the CIA and the FBI all worked to cover up the Hunter Biden laptop and then got their friends in big tech and the corporate media to go along with it and censor anybody who said otherwise, was because that laptop exposed all of Joe Biden's corruption. The Ukraine corruption and China and Russia and Romania. Let's not forget Romania, the lesser of the corrupt countries, but a corrupt country nonetheless. It was all there. The FBI had it in its possession since 2019. They knew it was real. They knew it was all there. And that was the problem. Had all this come out right before the election, well, then Americans would have probably made a different choice. Because they would have said, this guy's compromised. He's not this. Remember in 2020, the picture they were trying to paint of Joe Biden was kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets with an impeccable reputation. Oh, sure. Sometimes Uncle Joe slips and says things we all regret. But otherwise, this is a man with an impeccable streak of integrity. Now, everybody who knew him knew that that was a joke. He was a corrupt SOB, a liar, a plagiarizer, and a real SOB to be around. Nasty guy. The real Joe Biden's all those things. But it was a caricature that they created in the 2020 election. Go back in time again. The FBI is listening to Rudy Giuliani's phone calls as they make a decision whether or not to prosecute him. And they hear Rudy talking to Miranda Devine of the New York Post about the Hunter Biden laptop. It's at that moment that the FBI tells Twitter, this is pre-Elon Musk, obviously, something big's coming. That Russian disinformation, the election interference we've been telling you about, well, looks like it's about to happen. New York Post publishes the story of the Hunter Biden laptop. 51 former national security officials write the letter saying it's Russian disinformation. Twitter bans any mention of it, kicks the New York Post off Twitter, doesn't allow you to share it, doesn't allow anyone to talk about it because it violates their policy on quote unquote hacking. And if you're streaming on YouTube, you just saw I did air quotes again, hacking, even though there was no allegations that Hunter Biden's laptop was hacked. Okay, so corporate media does the same thing, and there's a whole roundup of people going on and saying the Hunter Biden laptop is fake, it's Russian disinformation, blah, 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 blah. Jen Psaki, who at the time is just merely a campaign consultant before she'd be elevated to the prestigious White House press secretary role, she has a tweet still posted to this day. 51 former national security officials all say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Okay. That was not because of Hunter Biden's nudie pics. It was because the picture, the caricature of Joe Biden as the kind old man hiding in the basement, protecting you from COVID and mean tweets, would blow up and everybody would know what a corrupt SOB he was. Trump brought it up on the debate stage, if you remember, and Joe Biden turned around and said, 51 former national security officials all said this is Russian disinformation. Biden knew it was real. The FBI knew it was real. Everybody knew it was real. But the deep state did what they had to do, and that was the ultimate election interference. They literally, the government of the United States of America, its law enforcement and national security apparatus, kicked into gear to stop Donald Trump from winning re-election. Their boss. Talk about undermining your boss, right? Undermined their boss to help him lose the election. That and a whole lot of dead people voting, but that's for another show. And Joe Biden has the help of the corporate media, big tech, and the government, the unholy triad, all working in tandem to protect him from the truth, which is that he's a corrupt SOB, and that his son was just a bag man for the Biden crime family. And Biden was getting 10% for the big guy. Then what happens? Well, down the road, Hunter Biden enters into what is referred to as a sweetheart deal. Now, at the time, I told you, please don't refer to it as a sweetheart deal. I said to you, this is a deal to cover up the corruption of the president of the United States. See, I'm usually a step ahead on these things, and I don't say that to brag. It's just that your time is valuable, as I always say, and I don't want to waste it. I appreciate you investing it in me and the show, and I want you to know it's being well spent. So I was ahead of this long before other people were, and I said at the time, this is not a sweetheart deal. They took the gun diversion agreement and the IRS charges and all of Hunter's tax crimes, financial crimes, and they packaged them together. Why? Because it would give Hunter absolute immunity, and by doing it through the gun diversion agreement, the judge, Tanya Chutkin, would not be able to say no. Typically, in most of these situations, the judges have to accept the plea agreement, but not if it's a gun diversion charge under the program the Department of Justice has. So they rolled up all of the financial crimes into that. And it was only because the judge was able to use a Jedi mind trick against Hunter Biden and his idiot legal team that it all blew up a couple summers ago. You remember that, right? Hunter was going to be a free man. It was all going to go away. Everything was going to go away. The corruption of Hunter Biden and then his father, Joe Biden, thanks to the Department of Justice, was all going to go away in a gun deal because he lied on that gun form. And everything, all of it, was going to be rolled in, except for one thing. The judge brought up the fact that could Hunter theoretically be charged as a foreign agent down the road? And they said, yeah, technically. And that was enough. Idiots hire idiots, and his idiot legal team let that blow up. All because Hunter wasn't given immunity for anything and everything. He just was given immunity for all the financial crimes of his father and the gun charge. Then what happens? Well, then the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, who up until that point was telling everybody, we don't need a special counsel. That the United States Attorney for the state of Delaware had all the authority he needed. All the authority he needed. Whistleblowers came forward. Whistleblowers from the IRS. And said, listen, we got the goods on this guy, and they are protecting him. We should be able to go after him in California. And Maine Justice, which is where the Department of Justice is located in D.C., it's known as Maine Justice. Not the state of Maine, but Maine is in central. Maine Justice said no. We wanted to go after him in California. Maine Justice said no. We wanted to interview that person. Maine Justice said no. So these whistleblowers, Gary Shapley and others, they come forward, right? They come forward and they talk about all of this stuff. What happens to these guys? Well, they get blasted. They're called conspiracy kooks. They're called crazy people. Merrick Garland winds up appointing a special counsel, even though up until that point, he said that David Weiss, the United States Attorney for the state of Delaware, had all the power he needed. But apparently not, because then Merrick Garland named him a special counsel. Then what happens? Well, now that he's a special counsel, he has the ability to go outside of the various districts. Because as a U.S. attorney, he has to ask permission to charge in another U.S. attorney's sandbox. And Maine Justice said no, but a special counsel can do whatever he wants. So the special counsel then indicted Hunter Biden in California on financial crimes. And they separated the two, the financial crimes of the father and then the gun charge. The gun charge was irrelevant. It was always a red herring just to be able to cover up the crimes of the father. But now that it blew up, things had started to change politically. The landscape had changed. When they first made that deal, Everybody thought Joe Biden would win re-election. The economy was stronger. I mean, all the spending by Joe Biden had not really taken hold yet. They thought, we'll prosecute Donald Trump, we'll go after him, and he'll wind up in prison, but he'll get the nomination because MAGA will circle the wagons around him and he'll be the nominee. But then he'll lose in a landslide because he'll be an indicted felon, convicted felon, and we'll get him in Georgia, we'll get him in New York, we'll get him on the federal level, we'll raid his house, we'll do all these things to him. And Biden's guaranteed a shoo-in, no doubt about it. And Biden's our puppet. He invades Ukraine. Well, I should say Russia invades Ukraine, and Biden goes along with it and starts giving Ukraine everything that they need. The defense industrial complex is very, very happy. They're loving this. They're loving life. 2021, life is good. Spending like drunken sailors, it's all good. Then they start the prosecutions against Trump, and then the rest is history, as you know. But in the time frame between when they had that deal that I said don't call a sweetheart deal, call it the deal to save the cover up the corruption of the father, the financial crimes of President Joe Biden, between that time and when it all fell apart, a lot of years. In politics, that was a million years, like dog years, political years. Even though it was only, what, a year, year and a half, so much had changed. The economy goes to hell because of all the spending, the inflation. Biden is losing his mind, and Trump is surging in popularity because of the prosecutions and the indictments, and not just with MAGA, but with everybody. They realize something at this point. We have to get this guy out of the race. But he's a stubborn old bastard, so he doesn't want to go anywhere. And that's where the Godfather comes in, the Chicago master, Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, being the Chicago crime boss that he is, goes to Joe Biden with the help of Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, and Chuck Schumer, and says, here's the deal. You get out, go to your beach house, build your little sandcastles, keep your money, and we put somebody else up there. Or if you don't, everything that we covered up for you that's on that laptop, which again, Joe, we covered up the laptop, not because of Hunter Biden's disgusting nudie pics. We covered up the laptop because it links you to your son's corruption. That all comes out. And I was president during all that, Joe. I'm the one who gave you the Ukraine portfolio, Joe. I'm the one who watched as you threatened the president of Ukraine to withhold $1 billion in aid. I'm the one who, behind the scenes, got Congress to impeach Donald Trump for asking questions about that. Remember, Trump was impeached by the Congress over a phone call to Zelensky. They said he was digging up foreign dirt on his political adversaries, and therefore he should be impeached. Barack Obama and company were the ones who made that happen because they needed that to end. They couldn't have Zelensky turn around and give the goods on the Biden crime family. But it was all there. So ultimately, Joe Biden had no choice. He didn't want to go. He was forced out of the race. They did a coup against him. And, you know, I've made jokes that nobody was more surprised than Joe Biden when he found out he dropped out of the race. And that's funny, which is why I made the joke. But he knew it was coming. He had no choice. He was trying to make phone calls. He was trying to do everything. But the Obamas had decided. Barack Obama had decided. And whatever dirt Joe Biden had on Barack Obama drowned in a pool. Let's face it. Everybody in Washington has something on everybody. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. Harry Truman once said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. I'm sure that Joe Biden had stuff on Barack Obama. And I'm sure that when that guy drowned in that pool in Martha's Vineyard, I'm sure it all went away. The point is, Joe Biden had no leverage. And Obama had all the leverage. And people turned around and they said, yeah, but the problem is that if Biden exposes Obama's, if Obama exposes Biden's corruption, then isn't he implicated? And the answer is no, because the Supreme Court handed down presidential immunity. But even before that, he would claim executive privilege and he would just say, I didn't know what he was doing. I mean, I guess we were sloppy, but I don't really know. Biden had no chips to play at this point, so he had to get out of the race. But as part of the deal, the Hunter Biden pardon was baked into that cake. So in all the times during the election, they kept saying he would not pardon his son. He would not pardon his son. He will not pardon his son. And we've got a montage of Karine Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden both saying that. But you knew. And I knew. And everybody with a thinking brain knew he was going to pardon his son. And it's not because he's a sweet dad. It's because the pardon means the corruption of Joe Biden goes away. Now, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. John Yoo is, and he'll be on the show later today. But a number of people have talked about this idea of, well, now Hunter Biden has waived his Fifth Amendment protections, so Congress can compel him to testify. Congress has had 2 years to do something, and they've done nothing. With Republican control, they've done nothing. They've had hearings. They've done nothing. And there's no way Congress will bring a former president to testify. It's never happened. It will not happen. It's over. Unfortunately, it's over because a pardon is absolute. And it goes back to 2014, right where Joe Biden's corruption and Hunter Biden's corruption in Ukraine intersects. And that's the end of that. Now, if Kash Patel gets in as FBI director and Pam Bondi gets in as attorney general, they can expose a lot of this stuff. And I hope that they will. Jim Comer and his committee, they can all expose a lot of this stuff. Again, Chairman Comer, I hope they do. But as far as prosecutions go, no, they can't. Unfortunately, they can't. But politically speaking, this is devastating for the Democrat Party. Coming off of this huge loss like this, and then for years saying no one's above the law, no one's above the law, for Joe Biden to come out and now pardon his kid, his corrupt kid. And people are turning around going, are you freaking kidding me? This is terrible political optics, but Joe Biden doesn't care. If he had won, if he had stayed in the race, or if Kamala had won, they might have been able to cover this up and it might have been unnecessary. And she could have got in there and the attorney general could have just kept delaying until everybody forgot about it. But she lost and that's how it goes. The pardon's baked in. That's the end of it. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm not happy that I literally predicted all of this, by the way. I'm not. And I'm only saying so because your time is valuable and I want to make sure you know you're spending it wisely. This is the only army. Your time is not wasted. But I saw this coming a mile away. They had the leverage. Joe Biden would have been in this race had it not been for the laptop. If it had not been for the fact that Barack Obama was a witness to all of this corruption and that Barack Obama decided he had to go. At that point, like I told you at the time, like I said to you after that debate, like I said to you before that debate in June, when I told you that debate was nothing more than a setup to get him out of the race. And I said, why are we doing a debate in June? And all of America saw his cognitive decline. And everybody went from, they were gaslighting us up to 5 minutes before that debate, saying this was the best version of Joe Biden they'd ever seen. The guys got it all together to 5 minutes after the debate, all coming out in a chorus and saying Joe Biden's got to go. Biden's got to go. George Clooney writes his op-ed, that very famous picture of Barack Obama walking Joe off the stage. It was all orchestrated. At that point, I said to you, it's over. Biden is toast. He's done. He's out of this race. There's no way he can survive this. I predicted that. It's in a podcast. I'm sure Matt DeSantis can pull it up for us. I said to you, the Chicago mob boss has spoken, and Joe Biden is done. He cannot survive this. He will not survive this. And sure enough, he didn't. And I said the pardon was coming, and the pardon's here. So react to it for me, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We got a big show for you today. We're fired up. We're loaded up. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, including the one and only John Yoo. Nobody better on a day like today to help break it down for us. Follow along on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. He is the man. He is my dentist. And as the master of dental implants, named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years, schedule your free implant consultation by calling 856-786-2020. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Very nice music. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Let the children use it. Great to be with you today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Wonderful to have you. So let's think about a couple different things here in the whole big scheme of things. First of all, number one, this pardon. It's a complete and utter pardon of everything and anything he may have done going all the way back to 2014, which is when he joined the board of Burisma, when Joe Biden had the Ukraine portfolio, when he threatened the prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, when he said, you know, fire the prosecutor or I'm taking our $1 billion back. And the guy said, well, you're not the president. And Joe Biden said, well, call him. Go ahead, call him. And sure enough, son of a B, prosecutor gets fired. Goes back to all that. For anything and everything he may or may not have done, any crimes he may or may not have committed, things he's charged for and not charged for, it's all gone, gone away, gone, 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 gone. And yes, you can be pardoned for things that have not been charged. You can be pardoned for things that you've done, but nobody got around to charging you yet. That's how it works. Look, I know you're hearing a lot of stories today. Like, there's a story that Senator John Thune says he's going to go forward and vigorously pursue the Biden corruption in the Senate. Do you believe that? I've had 4 years of this now. I just have no faith in the Republicans in Congress with Speaker Johnson and John Thune. They're going to say these things. But do you really believe that it's going to happen? I mean, yeah, look, Pam Bondi is attorney general. Cash Patel is FBI director if he makes it. Be great. They can expose a lot of stuff, potentially, maybe. I don't know. It just depends. But I'm not going to hold my breath that there's going to be justice here, and certainly not on the part of Congress. I mean, what the Congress should do is investigate Joe Biden and impeach him retroactively and remove him as president retroactively. And he'll have a giant asterisk after his name. They won't do that. They should, but they won't. They should, but they won't. They should hold hearings. They should expose Joe Biden's corruption. They should subpoena Hunter Biden. They should subpoena Joe Biden. Subpoena James Biden. Subpoena everybody. Get it all on the record. The pardon does not protect you from that. And then, you know, Hunter's not facing any criminal prosecution, so he can't say, I'm pleading the fifth. The fifth is only to protect you from incriminating yourself, but he can't incriminate himself because he's been pardoned. Says that they should do. And then they should bring in Joe Biden as president, and they should get it all out there, expose all the corruption. And then they should impeach Joe Biden for the corruption that he committed and trying to cover it up by pardoning his son. And then it should go to the Senate, where there should be a trial, and the Senate should vote to convict Joe Biden, even though he's already left office. And Joe Biden will have been the first impeached and convicted president in U.S. history. Do you think that's going to happen? Okay. Me neither. Should happen. Do I think it's going to happen? See, those are two separate things. It's not going to happen. Should happen, but it won't happen. Should happen? Not happen. Should happen? Yep. Like, for example, it should happen. That's what they should do. They should expose everything and then impeach him, convict him, and Joe Biden will forever be shamed in the history books with a giant asterisk. Pam Bondi can expose the corruption. Cash Patel can expose it all. And even though Hunter won't go to prison, and even though Joe Biden won't go to prison, doesn't matter. He'll be impeached. He'll be convicted for trying to cover up his financial crimes by pardoning his son, and the rest is history. That's what should happen in a perfect world. We do not live in that perfect world, sad to say. These people in Congress, they've had 4 years to go after the Biden crime family. 4 years, and they have done nothing. They have held hearings. They've grandstanded a lot. They've said a lot of things. They've had sound bites. They've had all kinds of really, really, really gripping sound bites. Oh, they've made a lot of threats. Yes, they have. They've even voted to have an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden because of all this. They've talked a big, big game, and they've done nothing. So I ask you, the same people, because we're talking about the same people, do you think they're going to do anything now that Joe Biden has left the White House? Or will you hear a lot of people talk about the precedent that it sets to go after a former president? Plus, the Supreme Court has said he has immunity anyway, and so he can claim executive privilege and not testify, and he cannot show up, and that could be another battle for the Supreme Court, and blah, blah, blah. Does our country want to go down this road? Or do we just simply move on and heal and let the kumbaya healing go on? If you're a betting person, what do you bet will happen? Not what should happen. What do you bet will happen? So if you like my political prognostication, then you should take this bet because it's the safe bet. All right? I have a pretty good track record on this. With the exception of calling Doug Burgum, it's been pretty flawless. Take my advice. Do not bet on Congress impeaching Joe Biden and convicting him after he leaves the White House. Don't bet on that on Polymarket. Don't bet with your friends. Don't. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. But that's, you know, beside the point. Take my word for this. These are the very same people that had a chance when people like Gary Shapley and others were bravely coming to them and telling them everything, and nothing happened. And yes, Trump, President Trump will control the Department of Justice. Absolutely. However, Hunter Biden's been pardoned. So they can't go after Hunter Biden criminally, and now they have no leverage to use on Hunter Biden to go after the old man. See, I told you months ago, we even played the clip from The Dark Knight, if you remember. There's a scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker is telling all the mob bosses that the guy, Lau, who has all the money and is headed back to Hong Kong, he says, I know squealers, and that guy's a squealer. Hunter Biden's a squealer. There's no way Hunter Biden was going to spend 5 minutes in prison. No way. So you see, when they indicted Hunter Biden in California, that's when I really knew it was over. When they scheduled the trial of Hunter Biden for the fall, which I told you would never happen because Joe Biden would be out of the race by then. But that was really for the leverage. They were going to lean on Hunter Biden aggressively to get him to flip on the father if the father didn't get out of the race. Now, there's stories out there today that Hunter Biden came to his dad and said, Dad, I'm going to write a book. Dad, I'm going to give interviews. Dad, I'm going to tell all these things. Hunter Biden was very, very afraid of going to prison. So Hunter Biden said to his father long time ago, you remember that time that Hunter Biden was before Congress and he said, my father had no financial involvement in my business? Do you remember that? Specifically said the word financial. And everybody said, why did you insert that word here? My father had no blank involvement in my business. You would imagine if it was going to be an F word, it would say effing. My father had no effing involvement in my business. Get over it already. But if this was the Mad Libs game or Ad Libs game, instead of it saying my father had no blank effing involvement in my business, it said blank financial involvement in my business. And people went, well, that's very strange. And I said, no, it's not. It's not at all. Hunter's sending a very loud message. If I don't get a pardon, I'm going to sing like a canary. I'm going to bring you down, old man. And now he's got the pardon. So criminally speaking, it goes away. Politically, the damage is done. Somebody asked me on Twitter, do I think this is Joe Biden doing a giant FU to the Democrats? I don't think Joe Biden gives a damn. I think Joe Biden is worried about protecting his own ass. I think Joe Biden is worried about his son squealing. I think Joe Biden is very, very worried about the Justice Department coming after Hunter Biden and exposing the old man. And now Hunter Biden is free and clear. The statute of limitations is long past to go after the brother. And the statute of limitations is past to go after Joe Biden criminally. Besides, he'll claim executive privilege and immunity and blah, 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 blah. Now, there's no immunity from Congress. And like I said, Congress should go after Joe Biden. Congress should impeach Joe Biden. Congress should vote to remove Joe Biden posthumously. I mean, that's the wrong word for it since he would have left office and he's still alive. But, you know, you get the point. And they can do that. And Joe Biden would have a giant asterisk after his name. That's what Congress should do. Congress is not going to do that. You know that, and I know that. And this whole cake was baked long time ago. And it stinks to high hell. High heaven? High heaven. It stinks to high heaven. It stinks. And it's so corrupt. And it is such a double standard of justice, and it stinks. But it shows you that the Department of Justice has been so weaponized politically. It goes after its enemies, and it protects its friends. And it protected Hunter Biden and it protected President Biden until they decided that they didn't want Joe Biden anymore, in which case they turned on Joe Biden and they used the leverage they had on Hunter Biden to get Joe Biden out of the race. But it didn't work. Kamala Harris lost in a landslide to Donald Trump, who won the Electoral College and the popular vote. Now Hunter Biden's panicking and he's back to making threats against the old man. And it all has to go away. So I'll ask you the question that I've been asking throughout the entire show today, which is, do you think Congress, not should Congress, but will Congress go after Joe Biden after he leaves office? Let's hear what Maureen has to say. Maureen, thanks for the call. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fabulous. Everyday listener. Love your show.
Thank you so much.
Do I think Congress is going to go after them? Sadly, I'm going to say no. I think they're just going to go with Trump and put it all behind them. But what I think is they should take him back to his $180,000 yearly salary and take the $38 or $40 million that he got in the past few years and divvy that up to all the voters in 2020. It'd be nice if they were able to divvy that up to just the Trump voters, but I don't think that that's a possibility. So yeah. Just divvy that up and everybody can get a nice little stipend. And he can go back to having $200,000 a year.
Well, listen, I like your thinking, Maureen. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, by the way?
I did. We had a very nice Thanksgiving. A couple of days off from school and visited family, did a little shopping and some football and relaxation. Yeah, it was really nice. So,
all right, my friend. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Ours was great. Thanks, Maureen. We had a fun time. It was nice to not cook this year. So my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law did a great job. But, yeah. Look, I'm not happy about being right. I'm not. I really am not. I wish I called all this stuff wrong. I really do. But I just see how this game is played. It's just insane. It really is. And these poor whistleblowers, right? These guys who bravely came forward and told us the truth about everything with Hunter Biden. Told us everything. Told us all the crimes that were there. All the cover-up. Everything. It was all for nothing. And they're ticked off today. As Americans, we should all be ticked off today. The president just covered for his son after telling everybody he would never pardon his son. We have a montage, as they say in the business, of Joe Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre saying how many times they would not pardon Hunter Biden. What cut is that, Matt? I know we got a lot of them today. We got like 500 clips. 18. No, is it 18?
Two.
19. What?
Cut two.
Cut two. Literally right in front of me. Okay, we'll start right there, shall we? Cut two.
Presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Well,
I just said no. I just answered.
The president would not pardon or commute the sentence for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying
it's
would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
His son, Hunter, is also up for being sentenced next month. Does the president have any intention of pardoning him?
We've been asked that question multiple times. Our answer stands, which is no.
President Biden says that he's not going to pardon his son, Hunter. Is he going to ask Donald Trump to do that?
I don't have anything else to share about that. I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole on this. I've been very clear. The president's been very clear when we've been asked this question.
Will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes. I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that. I will not pardon.
There you go. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not gonna do it, but did it anyway, because that's what had to happen here in order to make it all go away. Democrats are going to pretend like they're all angry about this, and you're going to hear a lot of gnashing of teeth. And honestly, I really don't have interest in playing many clips of Democrats pretending that they're outraged over this, because they also knew this was coming. They all knew this was coming. This was all baked into getting Joe out of the race, and it stinks. It stinks. And you should be angry, and I'm angry, because the gaslighting that has taken place against the American people, going all the way back to the Hunter Biden laptop and to this moment today, all of the gaslighting It's infuriating. It's unconscionable. Congress should hold the president of the United States accountable. This Congress and the 219th Congress that's about to be formed in January should hold this president, Joe Biden, the 44th president of the United States, 45th, what, 44th president of the United States. No, what number is he? Well, he's 44, right? Matt, what number is he? No, he's 46. Yeah, I can't do math. They should hold the 46th president of the United States of America accountable, Joseph R. Biden. They should hold him accountable for this. This is a cover-up. They should impeach him. Joe Biden may pardon himself, though, at the way out the door. That's possible. But again, pardons don't count in matters of impeachment. And Congress can impeach him after he's left office. They can remove him from the presidency after he's left office. It'll just simply be a note in the history books. But nevertheless, it will be American history. And our kids can learn about the corrupt SOB that thought he could cover up his financial crimes, thought he could cover up being corrupt by pardoning his son. And our kids can learn that that's not why the founders and the framers of the Constitution gave the president the pardon power. And that when the presidents abused the pardon power in that manner to cover up for their own family crimes and his crimes and enriching his family and enriching himself, because enriching your family, using your office to enrich your family, is also a crime. Our children can learn that that's not why the framers of the Constitution gave the president the pardon power. You know, I was just literally just at Independence Mall this weekend. I went down with my son and my daughter, Patrick and Claire, and my niece, Grace, who was in town from the University of Michigan, and Bridget. And we went down there and we took the tour, which I haven't done in a long time. You know, we took the tour of Independence Hall and we went over to Congress Hall. And it was great. Loved it. Loved every moment of it, being there and teaching my children the history of this country. And, you know, you sit in the seats at Congress Hall, the actual seats that they sat in when they debated the articles of the Constitution and all of it. Great. Really cool. Very neat. Incredible experience. And this was obviously before this pardon came down. But I think it's important for our children to know why the pardon power exists. The pardon power is given to the president of the United States not so he can be a king and protect himself and protect his family. It's so that the president can show mercy on behalf of the American people to somebody who the president believes got a raw deal. Got a raw deal in justice. Got a raw deal on the federal level, obviously. And that president can commute a sentence that the president felt was too harsh, or pardon somebody for a crime that he felt was undeserving. Because let's face it, we had just gone through a revolution. We had a king. He would just make up laws on the fly. They would make up laws and they would charge people after the law was created for things that were not illegal at the time. The Brits would do that thing. They were famous for that. So the presidents, they gave the power of the president, the pardon power, so that the president could turn around and say, that's an unjust law and I'm pardoning that person from that. They should not have to face the consequences of this. I don't care that Congress passed it. I vetoed it. It's wrong, and I'm going to pardon him. It was supposed to be used sparingly and in cases where people got a raw deal from justice. It was a check on the justice system, the third branch of government, which is supposed to be the least dangerous, the judicial branch. Remember, all the branches are supposed to check each other, right? So the Congress oversees the president. The president is supposed to deal with Congress in terms of, you know, the president, he takes care that the laws are faithfully executed. But ultimately, the Congress has the power of oversight of the executive branch of government. And the president has the ability with the pardon power, the veto power to, you know, have a check on Congress with laws that he doesn't like. Of course, they can override his veto. And the president has the pardon power if he doesn't agree with the law that Congress passes and somebody's found guilty of. And he has a check on the court system by the power of the pardon as well. So all the branches kind of look out for each other in that manner and checks and balances. But I don't want my children believing that the framers of the Constitution gave the pardon power so that presidents could cover up their own crimes. Sure, presidents can pardon themselves. But Congress specifically wrote in the article where they talk about the president's pardon power, except in matters of impeachment, for that very reason. Because they ultimately wanted to be the ones to hold a president accountable for abusing his office, which Joe Biden has done. Remember, the reason why I said to you presidents should not be criminally charged is because Congress decided that it would have that power to check the executive vis-a-vis the impeachment. But again, I say to you, that's what should happen in a perfect world. Like, I should be able to eat pizza every damn day. I should be able to have as many carbs as I want. And I should be able to drink wine without my nose getting so red that it shines like Rudolph on Christmas Eve. These are things that should happen. These are not things that happen. And it's the same thing with this. Congress should go after him. Sadly, Congress will not. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre saying that, here we go now, reacting. He won't say if Biden discussed the pardon with her during the taxpayer-funded family vacation this past weekend. The only thing I can think of from Karine Jean-Pierre is either she was a witting participant in this gigantic gaslighting lie, or she's really mad right now that they trotted her out all those times in various different pantsuits, purple and pink and fluorescent and mauve. Is that a color? Anyway, or she's really angry that they used her, knowing that this was going to happen anyway. Or maybe she was smart enough to know that she was lying the entire time. Cut 24.
Two of them were together this weekend. Did the president and Hunter discuss this possibility? Did they talk about this happening?
What I can say is he made this decision this weekend. He made it himself. I don't have anything else to discuss beyond that.
Fair enough. You talked about it with Hunter.
I just don't have anything to discuss. I've been pretty consistent in not talking about private conversations that he's had with his family. I just don't have anything to say. Besides, the president made this decision this weekend, as he said in his statement, and he made this decision himself. Once he made this decision, he shared it with his senior staff.
Now, he shared it after that, right? He shared it after that. That's what she says, right? Right? Cut 24, Karine Jean-Pierre, if the pardon would have happened if Kamala Harris hadn't lost. This is kind of a tell. This is a tell. Take a listen.
Do you think this would have happened if Harris hadn't lost the election?
Look, I'm not gonna get into the election. It is a no. I can answer that. It is a no. And what I can say,
this would not have happened if Harris hadn't lost the election. The pardon would not have happened if Harris hadn't lost the election.
I can speak to where we are today. And so I can't speak to hypotheticals here. Where we are today, the president made this decision over the weekend.
I can't speak to hypotheticals, but you know damn well if Harris had won, he would not be pardoning Hunter. He wouldn't need to. Because she'd be in charge of the Justice Department. But Cash Patel's coming. Pam Bondi's coming. We got to pardon them. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today. And you can react on X. YouTube chat, which I haven't checked yet because I've been rolling, but I will. I promise. Don't worry about that. Look, I keep telling you that when I'm right, I'm not doing it to brag. Okay, it's a tiny little piece of bragging. But it's mostly because, like I say, your time is valuable. And I respect your time. And I don't want you to waste it. There's a lot of dumb radio shows out there, and a lot of people waste their time listening to them. I want to make sure that you invest in the show. Your time is valuable, so you get something out of it. And you do. You certainly do. It's because we have a relationship, and relationships matter. That's why we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. I say it a lot about Cherry Hill Volvo because it's true. Judith Krupnik and her team go out of their way to make sure you are treated right. And I'm so grateful that they are a studio sponsor. I'm so grateful that I drive a Volvo. The Volvo XC90 is our family car. We love it. That third row to get the kiddos around, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. It's beautiful. It's stylish. Way cooler than a minivan. But hey, maybe you want the S-Class made right at their plant in South Carolina. The S-Class is a beautiful car. American jobs. Or maybe you want a certified pre-owned car. Well, Cherry Hill Volvo, they have that as well. And they have incredible incentives, ample inventory, and Judith will make sure they find all of the possible rebates, specials, incentives for you possible. Because it's all about doing the right thing. So go visit them today on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.